About. It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
And of course, it is not Denise this week, but Agnes. How are you going?
Hello. I'm sorry it's not Denise, but look, what a pleasure for me to be on. Thanks for having me.
Never apologize for stepping in for Denise to me. That's terrible. We love having all the National MPs on. So how you going? How's everything happening today?
Well, actually, I'm one of the new MPs, so mm-hmm. Unlike Denise, I've only come in this year, so this is coming to the end of my first year as a Nationalist MP for National Party. It's been a fantastic year, mm-hmm. busy year, and lots of highs and lows, and I'm just really appreciative of the opportunity that's come before me, really.
Mm. What's been the highest high for you so far?
I've been able to get out across the country, really. I'm a spokesperson for Pacific people and a spokesperson for small business, because that was my background coming in. This role opens the doors to meeting New Zealanders from all walks of life in different parts of the country that I would never normally, you know, be in front of. So that's every one of those experiences is always a high.
Mm. Sounds like a good year for you.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just jump in then.
Sure.
We have the terrorism suppression bill that is just coming into law. Now, National has claimed this bill is ineffective for a long time. Can you give us a background on why?
Essentially, at the end of the day, security, national security of our country, of our citizens, is probably one of the most fundamental roles of a government. And from our perspective, the way that Minister Andrew Little approached this, there was no genuine attempt to work with the National Party. We're a party of 55 MPs in making this the best bill, the best law it could be. And so, in effect, he turned to the Green Party to get his numbers. Now, the Green Party... you wouldn't normally associate the Green Party with national security. So, in fact, we've said all along that the bill doesn't go far enough, and in fact, it'll give us a false sense of security. And the National Party put through a number of amendments to really tighten and strengthen the bill, which Andrew Little did not support.
Mm.
And so, ultimately, the party did not support this bill. I mean, it has gone through. He had the numbers with the Green Party, but that's been our position. And genuine concern, also that there was no genuine attempt to come and work with the National Party on this bill.
Some of the critiques towards National's amendments were that it was encroaching on human rights, liberties, and freedoms. Is that a concern for you, that was a narrative around that?
The concern for us was always that you do have to balance human rights with, the right to make sure that we can protect our citizens. I mean, terrorism, as we all know, has its reach all around the world in different parts and different communities, and it's becoming quite complex with people moving, and how terrorist communities will move around. And so we've got to be a lot more sophisticated and in how we approach that from a point of protecting our citizens. So it is about a balance. So I don't believe that narrative that we weren't, that it was all about us, not allowing human rights. It's actually about ensuring that our country is protected.
But do you think we should threaten human rights potentially for the sake of that protection?
I think it's paramount that we protect our citizens, absolutely.
But at the cost of potentially risking human rights?
Well, that's a hard one to know, isn't it? At the end of the day, we are here to protect our citizens.
Mm. Well, with an election year coming up next year, I am curious, if National were to be elected next year, do you think this is a priority for National, that to instill potentially stricter guidelines around this bill?
We'll be looking definitely to strengthen this bill to ensure that we are, you know, it is a bill that is there to protect our citizens.
Mm. And of course, the Green Party was acting in accordance with their recommendations based on human rights and legal community. So based on their recommendations, why is it that National Party didn't necessarily align with those recommendations?
Oh, it's the very reason that we have a National Party and Green Party. Mm. There are some key values that we, you know, that we differ on. And they will have their priorities and National Party will have our priorities and they won't align.
Mm. I'll shift on to our next subject now. So we have infrastructure spending potentially revitalizing National's previous road projects. Now, government seems to be tentative to say they will be reopening these projects that were started by National. Why do you think that is?
Probably because I think they're scrambling. I think my understanding is that NZTA were only consulted about 3 months ago around some of the potential infrastructure, roading infrastructure projects. And so that to me says that they're sort of scrambling. They haven't yet had the time to look at this in more depth and more detail, which is why I think they're hesitant to actually reveal too much of this plan. I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, whether it's $6 billion, $12 billion, $20 billion, this Labor government has not been very successful in delivering. They can declare and announce all sorts of things, but the ability to actually implement and deliver is where they are very weak. So, you know, the fact that they're now looking at these roading projects that they canned when they gave them into government says that they know that they made a big mistake there. This has been that's been to the detriment to the country and to the economy and to businesses and to everyday New Zealanders, because now we've now delayed projects. We've got businesses who would have been here, you know, construction workers and labourers who would have been here in the country working on these projects. We've had to move offshore or to other places. And so to kickstart these projects now, which would be great, but we'd have to then build in the time to lure back that workforce. We just don't have the workforce, so we've missed that opportunity. But at the end of the day, we're just not confident that they can deliver.
Mm. So that expression of doubt that government won't be able to deliver any kind of significant projects before the end of term, do you think that highlights on some level the problems with a 3-year term?
I think there's merits to the argument of the 3-year term, and I'm just new. I've just come in. I haven't done a full term, but in the 1 year that I've been here, I can see that there are some challenges that when you start as a new term, as a new government, you really need to have a plan underway beforehand so you can just hit the road running from day one, because you do, you know, we've got, you know, the country has an opportunity to vote on our electoral cycle, and generally New Zealanders have felt that 3 years is suitable, and so we've got to work with that. But that does mean that governments have to be able to have the plans in advance, that know what they're going to do, and to make sure they can implement as much of that through their first term.
Mm. I think you're in a very interesting position because you have only had about a year. How much do you think you have been able to accomplish in that year, and do you think potentially
personally
this government
for me
is
or as a party?
Just personally for you?
I think it's I've come in and it's interesting coming in as a new MP because I've sort of felt like, you know, I've come on and there's a fast train going, and you sort of feel like you're running to try and catch up with everybody else.
Mm.
What's been good is that I've been welcomed and very supported. I've come into a very supportive environment, and there are some really good structures in place where new MPs can, like myself, can learn the ropes, but also just get supported in doing some little projects for ourselves in the community or in whichever policy areas you're in. So I also sit on the social services policy team. I'm on the social services select committee. And that's a really meaty one to be in, because that is a significant part of our community in terms of NGOs and community organisations that work in the space, which is really about ensuring that we can help New Zealanders who are really, really challenged. And I'm enjoying working in that space. And I think that I've learnt a lot this year, but it's actually, you know, they say it takes a term for a new MP to sort of really build the knowledge, experience around the parliamentary process and getting engaged. What helps is what you've done, I think, prior to coming in as an MP as well.
Very interesting perspective. Now, I do want to touch on something that was commented on in regards to infrastructure spending and roading. So something that was said is that ministers are always operating off of the advice of the time. So that's kind of why those projects were pushed back. Do you think governments sometimes need to stick with what is potentially already working or be operating on new advice always?
I think it's probably a mixture of both. I mean, generally, ministers have the advice of Treasury and other government departments around them, you know, NZTA and others who are there. And, you know, these departments like NZTA have to work continuously on medium, short-term and long-term plans regardless of the cycle of governments that come through. And, you know, generally you want to have that long-term plan as much as possible, and that, you know, if projects are working, just keep them ticking along.
I'll shift on to our last subject here. So the health discussion document from the National Party, something around that is potentially removing elections for DHB members. Now, what benefits in your eyes is there of removing that election process?
It's just something that the National Party, I mean, as part of our discussion documents, there is always parts where we put some ideas out there, and it's really for us an opportunity to get some feedback on what other, you know, either individuals or organisations feel about that. Ultimately, we're looking at getting a better return on the health dollar for New Zealanders in terms of, you know, every dollar we spend on health, making sure that it impacts in a positive way in better health service and quality for New Zealanders. And part of that is looking at things like the DHB model, and, you know, can we get better efficiency out of that? And I think that's it's one that many people have commented on in the past, that we've got, you know, very, I guess, quite significant. In principle, the model is good in terms of it being sort of delivering services and being locally governed. But I guess it's around how can we get better performance out of it? And some of it is quite complex. You know, can we simplify it, and so that we can deliver better care for Kiwis and, you know, for better value for money? So I think that we'll get some good and varied feedback on it. And, you know, at the end of the day, once we get that all back, we'll have a look at what we can implement. You know, we'll make those announcements next year, but I think it's really good to put that out to everybody now.
So I guess with this whole idea, it's kind of selecting members based purely on a resume basis. Do you think that by doing that, you are potentially missing out on that community aspect where people are ideally in touch with their communities and understand what their communities need?
Well, I think you raise a really good point about you know, what are the qualities that we should be looking at in terms of people in those roles to really give, again, a, you know, better value for money in terms of the dollar return, to ensure that we are giving better care and quality of care for New Zealanders. Can we, you know, under a slightly different model in terms of those DHB roles, can we modify it in the way that we can ensure that we are getting, you know, for each community there could be different needs. So we do like the fact that it's that there's still a local aspect to it, people that know their community. But, you know, how can we, what's a better model of delivering that?
I guess I'd kind of like to know more about where that critique of the current model is coming from at the minute.
I think it's just, it's been, you know, people have been saying for a few years that, the, you know, our DH model, DHB model needs to change. And I think it's about where do we change it? It's not a specific from one group or anything. I think it's just been a generally comes across a narrative that is, you know, not too uncommon, that, you know, people are looking at this, how can we change the model? And so this is an opportunity to put that on a discussion document, which is why it's called a discussion document. And I mean, this is now our eighth discussion document. So it's not a policy document, but it's got some policies, and but more actually some areas where we want New Zealanders to feedback.
Be definitely interesting to hear how that all comes together. I will finish off on my last question here, which I don't know if you've been warned. I usually like to go for a personal question. Shift away from the politics for a moment.
Sure.
But my question for you today, what is your favorite food to eat around the holiday season?
I'm Samoan. So I always like to have, it's a good time of year to have a mix of my, some of the foods that I sort of grew up with, sort of comfort foods, which is generally my mum's cooking. And so we eat a lot of taro and chop suey. But I also like classics like just having a good ham, which lasts for a few days after Christmas, with bread and salads and cheeses.
It sounds like a great spread.
Yeah. it's hard to pick one food, actually. I know you thought it was it.
Oh, no, I get it.
A combination of everything, yeah.
It's the time of year for eating, and everyone gets worried about their waistlines.
Yeah, and I can never say no to pavlova and brandy snaps.
Ooh, pulling on my heartstrings here.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I hope you have a lovely weekend.
Thank you very much. You too, and also have a fantastic Christmas.
You too. Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.